Alrighty, folks, welcome. This is 0 to 60, Developing Apps for Microsoft Office 2013. I am Sonia Koptiev, Senior Product Marketing Manager in the Office and SharePoint Product Marketing team. And this is my co-presenter today, Keenan Newton.
Howdy.
I'm going to apologize to these folks over here right away. I'm kind of short and this monitor is kind of tall. So once in a while I will step back to take a look at you, but I'm spending some time over here. All right, so our agenda today is we would like to cover the vision for apps for Office in 2013 and the cloud app model. We're going to do quite a few demos. Keenan's going to show you some very neat stuff with the cloud app model and Office, Excel, Word, Bing Translator. Lots of stuff to look forward to. And then we're also going to cover some resources that you can go and look at after the presentation. So our vision for modernizing the platform, the Office platform. In today's market, we see many constants. Office as a platform has 1 billion users worldwide. That's B with billion with a B. That's a massive user base compared to any other software that's out there. As such, Office lends itself to be the natural front end for business applications and other user interfaces throughout the enterprise. There's also a huge developer base for both Office and SharePoint. There are roughly 700,000 SharePoint developers out there today, and many, many more Office developers who are just coding on a much more varied code base, whether it be VBA, VSTO, COM add-ins, code behinds with regular .NET platform, what have you. But there's huge developer base out there. Today's trends, what we're seeing is a huge shift towards HTML5 and CSS3, and these are rapidly becoming the technologies of the web. Whereas before, HTML was just used to surface the layout or the presentation layer of the website, and you had much more code and code behind focused on the .NET platform and other platforms such as Java. Right now, you have a lot more things being HTML being used to surface a lot more things. As well as JavaScript, REST, web services, PHP, plenty of other technologies being used to connect the web to other back-end services. And the key thing is that developers already have these skills. It's nothing new that they need to learn. They don't need to retool, and they certainly don't need to invest more time to learn new things, right? These are all things that they know. 75% of them already know and use HTML5 every day. The other trends that we're seeing is that by 2014, nearly 75% of the major corporations out there will actually be offering public APIs into their systems. We already have real-time financial data being offered by Bloomberg and APIs into that system. There are plenty of inputs into CRMs, ERP systems, and other line of business applications. So our principles when we thought about modernizing the platform is first and foremost designed for the cloud. If you design for the cloud, it'll work on-prem, and so this tends to be a very natural and easy progression into modernizing the developer platform. Secondly, enabling a consistent development platform. As we'd mentioned, developers have lots of varied skills, not only on the Microsoft platform, but also in independent and open source technologies, and we wanted to make sure that they could easily leverage these skills moving forward as they move on to the new Office developer platform. And giving them a choice, right? So they can use Visual Studio. It's a great tool for developers. If not, they can also use Eclipse, and there's always Visual Notepad. So what does this culminate to? What's the result? The result from our standpoint is the cloud app model. It's a new class of apps that extend, personalize, and create a way to fluidly consume information for the productivity and information workers out there, those 1 billion Office users. These new class of apps enable these fluid scenarios where users don't have to open 10 web pages to get to the information they need along with their Word and PowerPoint and Excel and Outlook. These external data sources and external feeds should be available to them right within their Office interface. The familiar tool sets. Developers can use the same web standards that they've been using for years to develop these apps. They don't need to retool. They don't need to spend time in a huge learning curve to learn something new. They can use the same OAuth, HTML, CSS, or open source technologies such as jQuery and Knockout.js. And then also a flexible lifecycle. I think we all know how annoying it is when you upgrade to the next version of Office and all of your stuff breaks, right? Now you need to refactor, retest, redeploy, make sure IT's okay with it, make sure the users are okay with it. Lots of different scenarios that you have to go through just to upgrade to the next version of Office. Well, with the cloud app model, due to the loosely coupled approach that we've taken, you no longer have to do that. You could upgrade your Office version and not touch your code, because your code sits by itself, which we'll get to in a second. So that's definitely a huge benefit of the new cloud app model. Another benefit is the Office Store, which we will be showing you later in the presentation. And this is a great way to actually deploy and make your apps available to not only the general public, but also just internally if you'd like to keep them within your organization. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. What I'd like to cover with you today is, for those of us who remember Office development in the past, starting in 1993, we introduced this thing called VBA, and it was great. And you could run your macros and create your little tools for yourself right within your Office docs. And it was wonderful. It ran right inside your Office doc. And if you wanted somebody else to have it and use it, you gave them your Office doc. And then there were a ton of uncontrolled copies running around. Next, in 2003, 10 years later, we introduced Visual Studio tools for Office and Comm. This was great. I leveraged the .NET platform. You could have your code compiled, running in the Office CLR. Also still running within the Office client, but in its own little sandbox environment. A little bit more manageability here, but still very much tied into that Office document that you wrote it for. Today, with Office 2013 and Apps for Office, what you have is the power of the cloud with Azure, IIS, LAMP, anywhere, web services, the Office developer platform with the APIs that we've opened up to the apps for Office model and apps for SharePoint model. And what you'll notice is you do have code running in Office, but there's also code running in that Azure and ISS and LAMP. So you're decoupling your logic from the presentation layer. And the presentation layer runs still within your Office, and that's what we want. We want a fluid and integrated experience for your users, but your logic is completely decoupled and can be sitting on some Apache web server if you'd like, right? As long as there's a web service connecting it, you're good to go. So that covers the overview of the cloud app model, and I'd love to hand it over to Keenan right now to take you through the details and the heart of the code.
Thank you very much. So let's go ahead and start looking at there's a few apps that, if you were at the apps for SharePoint session yesterday, I said that we're kind of transitioning into this app, and I wanted to kind of go through those apps. So first, we're just going to quickly look at the. I'm going to quickly open up the help desk app that we had yesterday in SharePoint. And one of the key things with apps for SharePoint is I can actually embed apps for Office as part of the apps for SharePoint SharePoint app. And specifically, that's what I've done here with this statistics app. So right here I have this button here that says Analyze in Excel. If I go ahead and click on that app, it'll actually go ahead and launch Excel, and there's an app that's already embedded into a template that downloads for me. Thank you. So once it goes ahead and opens up into Excel.
Go back to your browser.
It's supposed to open. Hold on. We'll just try this one more time. I just went ahead and installed the preview release.
I did joke about that with you yesterday.
That's okay.
To get.
None of us have ever faced this problem.
Never.
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 This everything just works flawlessly every single time. So let's try that one more time.
Enable.
Yeah.
You guys should be up here.
It's interesting. I didn't have to do that prior to the preview. So let's go ahead and go through May 1st, and we'll set the date at the end of July, and we'll go ahead and pull ticket data down. You can see it generated this entire table for me, generated the table and pulled down this data. But the question is, how did this actually work? Well, there's actually two components to this, and now I have the project open up in Visual Studio. And before I kind of get into that code, I want to show you the embedding. So right here, if you can kind of see the S, unfortunately I can't expand the Solution Explorer, but you can see the S. So this is my SharePoint app. And if you can see here, there's my app for Office manifest file that's embedded right into it. Now this SharePoint app is nothing but declarative code that's inside of it. There's no compiled code or DLLs that are actually in here. So if we go in, I've opened up the JavaScript file page itself. And in order to go ahead and, we'll just go ahead and find the right one, the help desk services. It was this one. And we will go ahead and get the actual ticket. So what actually happens is when I clicked on that survey button, this method here called getTickets was called. And it went ahead and specified the start date and end dates, which are right here. And once I go ahead and make that AJAX call, it calls into a web service that I built for my app. Now, yesterday I was kind of tuning the horn a little bit about being able to create one app with multiple views, and each one of these views exposed within an app for Office or an app for SharePoint. Well, this is a perfect example of that. So if we actually take a look at the, that was the HTML and JavaScript that was basically effectively my view, my help desk app. But if we go ahead and scroll down and look at my services app, this is the actual web method that gets called, get ticket data. Now this actually is what is going to go to my SQL Azure database and pull that data down. Now it does make a few SharePoint context calls within here to specifically get the information about the user details themselves, but otherwise it's typical web development code that you would call for SQL Azure. So I'm not going to go line by line of how we make calls into SQL Azure or create like an entity or sort of thing, because that's something that you do every single day. And that's one of the great advantages of this cloud app model, is that I can actually go ahead and create applications using the simple web skills that I have for creating Windows Azure applications and for creating any type of web apps that I have. So if I'm not a Windows Azure .NET developer, maybe I'm more fluent in PHP, great, go ahead and develop with PHP. If you're a Ruby on Rails type of individual, or you have those type of skill sets within your organization, go ahead and write with those skill sets.
And what's great, too, to that point is oftentimes, since the beginning of SharePoint, we've said, oh, you have to be a SharePoint developer to develop on SharePoint. Now you don't have to be. You just have to know the APIs, which is phenomenal.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It gives you a lot more flexibility into the platform.
So here I went ahead and I opened this in Excel. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and create a new blank workbook. I'm going to show you some other apps so that I can show you some other integration scenarios with Dynamics, actually. So I can go into insert apps, like you insert app like you would insert anything else. I've already tied this to my SharePoint catalog. So I will be my app catalog in SharePoint that specifies all my apps. And I'll show you a little bit what that looks like in a little bit. But here I have an inventory app, which ties into my Dynamics data. Just expand that just a little bit. And what we'll go ahead and do is we'll select the product, gas turbines, and we'll go ahead and I'm just going to view the inventory. So now there's all that data that's coming from Dynamics. I'm pulling that into Excel. So many times organizations will go ahead and allow end users to directly work with data via like an ODBC connection or some OLADB or whatever it may be. But it's really not necessarily always the best way possible. There are scenarios where I have seen where a administrator inadvertently doesn't realize that an end user has read and write access into the database. They give them the ODBC connection, and sure enough, when they're changing the data in the Excel spreadsheet, they're also changing data into the database as well without knowledge to do so. But in this case, I have an app, And this app is really nothing more than just HTML JavaScript. So I go into the source. It's pretty much all the good stuff that we've seen before with HTML JavaScript. It's not .NET code. It's not XAML. It's really easy to figure out what's going on underneath the scene, so you can see other apps and try to understand what's going on. And it integrates with the SharePoint platform. We do this through enabling the Office object model into the browser via JavaScript. But before I get into that, what I want to do is I do want to show you how you can create a compelling mashup. So I can go ahead and I've inserted this app. And what I want to do now is I want to go ahead and insert another app. So I'm going to go ahead and insert the inventory distribution app. In this inventory distribution app with this main app, because I have potentially distribution issues that are happening right now, I can go ahead and specify gas turbines, and it will tell me how to redistribute this app. And I can take this document, I can save this document, and hand it off to someone else that can take some type of actions on this. In SharePoint, we've always talked about composite type of applications, but now we can really do the same types of apps and same types of solutions with Office as well, by taking multiple apps and making something more meaningful and handing them off to an end user. But one of the great things about apps themselves is basically kind of the how they can actually traverse between the various products. So I have a document here with a list of countries. And what I want to do is I want to go ahead and I've created this service. And the service basically goes out and gets the GDP for the countries that are listed in this table. So I'll go in and I will go ahead and pull in another app called Magic Fill, and we'll go ahead and insert that app, and we'll click the select table button, which will go ahead and select my table, and it can see it filled it filled the country column in here, and I will click add column. It'll go ahead and automatically add a column to this table, and it'll start processing and collecting the data, and then within a few seconds it'll go ahead and start populating that data right into my Excel spreadsheet for me automatically. Now, what's great is that I just showed you how I did this with Excel. Well, let me show you how I can easily do the exact same thing with Word. So if I copy this, I go into Word. We'll create a new blank document. There's that same table that I just created. I'm going to go Insert App. I'm going to go ahead and pull back that exact same app. And we'll go ahead and go through the same thing. We'll select the table. And then we'll click Add Column. And there it is, adding the column automatically for me, and then going ahead and populating the data automatically. So now I've written one app that can be surfaced in two different client applications. I could also surface this with PowerPoint. I can surface this in Excel, Project, as well as Word. So this way you can write it once, and it surfaces in all these different clients. Before in the past, if you did VSTO development, you knew you had to write it once for Excel, you had to write it again for Word, you had to write it again for Outlook. If you wanted to integrate something with SharePoint, you had to write that totally separately. And none of the code really was able to be used in the other types of applications very, very well. Here, as you can see, is where I can actually do that. So let's go ahead and create a application. We'll go ahead and close that. Close that as well. And that should be the last one, I hope. So I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to say File, New Project in Visual Studio. And we're going to create an app for Office. And we're going to call this one Universal Translator. I think I spelled that right. So let's take a look at what happens when we go ahead and create a new app. It'll ask me what type of app I want to create. And there's three different types of shapes that we support today. We support task panes. We support a content app in Excel, which basically is like embedding something right into the Excel spreadsheet itself. And a mail app, which is explicitly for Outlook. For the purposes of this demo, we'll just unselect project and we will go ahead and click finish. And what it's going to do for me, similar to the app for SharePoint, it's going to create the app for Office project and it will go ahead and create the web project associated with it. Sometimes I just love previews. Okay. So, very similarly, if you take a look at the manifest file itself, you have a display name, a version, who wrote it as the provider. Pretty simple type of functionality here. You'll specify the source location, and that's the key thing, is that source location. All that is just a web URL. It could be any URL that you actually want to specify that's actually going to get pulled down into your environment. You can specify the capabilities, if it will work with documents, workbooks, project plans, or presentations, and you can define the permissions that it'll have, whether it's going to be restricted, can actually just read a document, read all the document, or have a write to the document or do both reading and writing. So here I have home.html, which is going to be where I'm going to put my my code into, and I'm going to cheat a little bit. I am going to go back to Visual Notepad, and I've actually kind of written some of my code already. And what we're going to do is we're going to create a simple translation app. Now, I like to geek out once in a while, and with this translation app, I'll definitely test to me geeking out. Typically, you know, you do translation apps with Spanish, Italian, France. I decided to pick Klingon for this one. So I thought that'd be kind of fun because it'd be kind of fun to actually see how Klingon would translate into English. So we'll hopefully get some kicks out of that. And let me just go ahead and copy my code in. Okay. So how this app actually works? Well, first do is we'll go ahead. It calls initialize function. If I need to do anything when the Office, the app for Office initializes, I'll go ahead and put some code in there for that initialization process. When I click on the button for translate, it's going to do exactly what you think it's going to do. It's going to go call a translation service. In this case, I am using the Microsoft Bing Translator, and I'm going to specify what the text is. It's going to specify from TLH, which is the code for Klingon, and it's going to translate it into English. And once it's complete, it will make a translate callback. Now, this is using JSONP. Where I'm actually going ahead and creating the, well, I'm not actually using JSONP, but similarly using the same type of concept, where I'll create an element for a script element. I'll specify what the source is, and then that script element will go ahead and execute, and then make the callback. So the callback basically will go ahead and put the code back into an element that I have within my app of the translated text. Pretty simple, but in reality, the development for Apps for Office doesn't get any more complex than this. Being able just to go ahead and say, where is my selected text, which comes from this element ID, comes from here, so this is where my selected text comes from. So I say, here's my selected text, I click the button, and that's all there is really to it. There's nothing, there's not a whole lot of hocus pocus or lots of crazy APIs to really have to get involved with. It's very simple in interacting with the actual document itself. Setting data is pretty much just as easy as opposed to get selected data async. It's set selected data async. So it's pretty much just that easy. So let's go ahead and run this and see if I actually made any mistakes or not. With that code, I'm hoping I didn't, if the demo gods are kind to me. There's my app. Okay, so it opened up. So I have an Excel spreadsheet with already some Klingon inside of it. So we'll go ahead and open that up. And there's, okay. So here's the actual Klingon that I have. So we'll go ahead and just click on the translate button. Okay, translate, and actually gob obviously means rage war. Kapla means success. And keha means lose. So obviously this is something about battle criteria of saying how many battles that have been won by the Klingons versus lost, and it looks like they're doing a lot of winning. But what's great is I can go ahead and say within the debug experience, so I was able to do that with Excel, but if I wanted to say, hey, you know what, I want to actually debug in another environment, let's say with Word, I can easily just go ahead and select Word down here, and we'll we'll go with PowerPoint. And we'll go ahead and start the debugging process. So you can actually see how your app's going to work with each and every single different client application that you have out there. So again, I'll go ahead and open up we'll open up our slides, and these are basically very similar to what you saw for the presentation. And we'll just paste those in here. And so let's see what cock apps means. Building apps. That's what it kind of translates into from Klingon. So agendum is pretty much self-explanatory, but we'll see what that comes out to. It comes out to agendum. It should have been agenda, but that's okay. Let's see what cock apps. It is difficult apps. Okay. And last is Jo, which is resources. So that is basically some of the ideas, some of the very simple type of things that you can do by using external services. In this case, I just wrote a simple HTML app, and if you took a look, it was probably about maybe into the ballpark figure of 20 lines of code and all. And I was actually able to do something that's actually really useful. And people ask all the time, like, well, when would I actually want to build an app for Office, or even sometimes when they ask about app for SharePoint, like, when are the perfect opportunities? Well, if I didn't have an app for Office to do this, what I would have typically done is I would have typically copied something out of Excel, and I would have pasted it into Bing Translator. I would have translated it and maybe brought it back in. But if I have an app, I was able to do it right from that Office experience, which is the natural environment that you would actually want to do this in. So from that standpoint, any opportunity that you see users copying and pasting data in and out of a spreadsheet or a Word document or PowerPoint are opportunities for apps. If you start thinking about it, there's actually a whole heck of a lot of opportunities that are out there that are out there for building apps themselves. Now, with that, I'm going to go ahead and hand it off back to my counterpart here, and we're going to talk a little bit about the store, and then I'm going to do one more demo with the app catalog. With that, Sonia, it is all yours.
Thank you. Actually, I need.
Oh, you're going to go back to the.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, so we did mention the store, and we said that. Essentially, what you could have is you could have publicly facing apps that are available in the public store. And if you're familiar with the new Microsoft Store online, it's right there in the Office Store. So when you go to the Office Store, you can either get to the apps for Office and SharePoint here off the menu bar, and then you would select which client you're interested in. So for example, if I wanted an app for Outlook, click Apps for Outlook, and you would go in here, and they have all of the different apps that are publicly available for Outlook already. If you were to leverage an internal app catalog, which is something that Keenan demoed actually a little bit earlier, you would actually have your own app catalog set up in your SharePoint deployment, and you would be able to designate where the app catalog sits internally and pull the apps in from there. So that's a little bit about the Office Store. Another piece that we wanted to show you is the dev.office.com. So when you type in dev.office.com into your browser, you'll get here. And you'll see apps for Office and also apps for SharePoint and the initial resources for building them. So when you click in here, in apps for Office, you'll get a lot of overview and some intro and some pretty good samples of going in there. And then the next piece too is when you want to start building apps for Office. Now, something we mentioned yesterday but didn't really touch on today is NAPA. And NAPA is the Office 365 development environment for apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. And when you come here into the Docs tab in dev.office.com, you can actually sign up for and start building apps for Office and apps for SharePoint right in the NAPA environment. So if you were to go here, it gives you a good overview of what you would do and how you would get there, and then you can also sign up for an Office 365 developer site. We do have a 30-day free trial available you can just sign up for and use, and then a yearly subscription is $99. However, if your organization already has an E-plan or if you have an MSDN subscription, it actually comes with a subscription as well. So you can go here, try it for free.
Okay. We just showed you a little bit. I'm going to go into Office 365 and actually show you what that experience is for creating an app. I'm also going to show you a little bit about what this app catalog is, because we talked a lot about the store, and that's great for being able to distribute apps publicly, but what about trying to distribute apps internally within your organization, which I'm willing to bet that probably a lot of you are probably enterprise developers and would probably have a stronger interest in that than necessarily putting apps into the store. So let's go ahead and go to my Tennessee here, and let's take a look at the we'll start with the app catalog. So the app catalog is basically what we call is our internal way of distributing out apps. All it is a site collection that in SharePoint that basically has two document libraries in it. One is called Apps for SharePoint, and the other one's called Apps for Office. And the apps for, just real quick, the apps for SharePoint, you can see basically these are just different different apps that I have available in here, and I simply just go in ahead and upload those apps. So in this case for Apps for Office, here are the apps that you saw during my demos, because this is where my tenancy was, and adding an app for an app for Office is pretty easy. You can simply just go in, and I have this one app I call MSFT right here. I can just take it, drag it right into my app catalog, and it's uploaded, and there it is right there. And to go ahead and use this app, what I can simply do is go right into Excel or Word, because it'll go ahead and work out with either one. I'll create a new workbook, and we'll go ahead and say insert Apps for Office. Now you see that it's not here, so I just click refresh, and it should pop up. There's my MSFT app, and then I click insert, and if all goes well, there's my MSFT app, and all it's doing is pointing to the www.microsoft.com site. For deploying apps, it's just that easy and just that quick. Certain things I didn't have to do. If I was trying to distribute a VSTO application, I didn't run around to 10,000 desktops to do that. My end user just went ahead and selected what that app was and made it available to them. If you want to embed an app into an Excel document, you can go ahead and do that as a template. Save that as a template, and then put it out on SharePoint or a file share, and people can go ahead and select that template, and that app will be made available right to them. So let's take a look at what that actual app manifest actually looked like. It was just simply an XML file. There was no code associated with it. Yes, you can actually do it off of a UNC share. So there's actually three different types of app catalogs that we have. One is obviously the SharePoint one. We also have basically a UNC share, with basically a file share, wherever it may be. I just realized it's not probably the most secure way of handling apps with SharePoint. I get the option of saying these apps are only allowed to be viewed by certain people in a group. And the last, Exchange has its own as well. So Exchange basically stores apps within Exchange and then makes them available to the to end users. Yep. So let's take a look at what that manifest actually looked like, the actual XML. So first, at the very top, one of the key things here is the type of app. Notice that that Microsoft app was a task pane, and basically just specifying in the XML there that this is a task pane app is what defines that task pane. I could change that to a content app or something else, and it would it would be something else. So here is a version number, so we'll just go ahead and update this to version 4, and provider name, which is just myself, and the default locale, which is I can specify English. I can also specify other locales for the apps as well. What the display name is and the description, which are right here. The capabilities. So does it work? What is it going to work with? Is it going to work with a workbook? Is it going to work with a document? Again, Visual Studio did this in a nice, clean way, but again, if you're not using Visual Studio, if you're not a, which I'm pretty sure no one here is, but if you know people that aren't Microsoft developers, you can tell them, hey, you can do this too, because I'm just using Visual Notepad right now to do this. And it's Notepad, but I like calling it Visual Notepad. It makes me feel like I'm developing. You can see that I went to the default Microsoft page, so I'm going to change that to Bing.com. And I know it's going to throw a few errors when I go ahead and do this, but I just want to show you how easy it is to go ahead and to update this manifest. And I'm going to click Save. I went ahead and saved that document. We'll go ahead and back into my manifest file right here. Go ahead and click Close. And we're going to go ahead and drop that right back in here. Remember, the old one said version 3.0. It says, do I want to place it? Yes. There's 4.0 right there. So let's go ahead and try to see if this will work. We go back into Excel, blank new workbook. I'll go ahead and click Insert, Apps for Office, MSFT, and see, let's go ahead and refresh that. And for some reason, I'm caching. That's awesome. So let's go ahead and try that in Word, because we want to see the other site, the other one come up. There we go. So those are the errors I was expecting. Yes, I know HTTPS is not liked by Bing, and there's the Bing page that I created for the manifest itself. So typically upgrading apps is a very, very simple process. I just have, because I'm on preview bits, the Internet Explorer caching was messing with me a little bit because I forgot to set that. But that's just a configuration setting. So that's really, it's really cool being able to go ahead and make changes, insert them, put them up into the app catalog, and right away end users can start realizing those changes. I made this change midday. I didn't take down SharePoint. I didn't have to do a bunch of deployments, have to restart Office or restart Excel. You wouldn't have to. Those types of changes could be made available to you right away. So these are all very cool things. And another thing that you can do is you can actually do, now I changed this manifest file, but what if I wanted to actually change the application itself? So that HTML to that application, for instance, with my translation app, I could just go ahead and push those changes to that web application and everybody would be seeing those right away. You only have to change the app manifest when you're changing some type of functionality of how your app is interacting with Office and SharePoint as well. So if you're doing, if you want to add PowerPoint, then you would change the manifest. If you want to, say, change it from read to read-write, then you would change it manifest. But if you're changing some type of business logic in your app, just redeploy your web solution. So again, it's a lot more flexible type of solution than what we've had before in the past with VSTO, COM, and VBA. VBA is a whole just ugly animal in itself, because yes, you can do great and powerful things right within the Word document, but then how do you start managing the upgrades to that code and all the other documents that are saved out there, trying to open them up and basically try to update the VBA code? It can be pretty much a painful experience. So I went ahead and showed the manifest file, and I went ahead and showed the app catalog is on how you go ahead and insert something into the app catalog itself. Let's say I have something that is already in the app catalog and I want to share it with someone else, or with maybe a different, maybe I have a on-premise farm as well as an Office 365 farm. I can simply take that app and I will go ahead and just download a copy of it, and I'll have it available to me. So I can also go ahead and take that XML file and share it with others. Now, if you notice, that one thing that you won't see here is you won't see apps in the store because those are managed in a different way. So you won't be able to just take an app manifest file from the store and be able to share it with other people because that's all managed by the Office store itself.
But you can hook into multiple app catalogs.
You
right
can
from from Office.
You can hook into multiple app catalogs. The caveat there is you can only view apps from one app catalog at a time. So if I go into Excel, I'll just show you what that experience looks like. So if you go into your Trust Center, in the Trust Center settings, we have trusted app catalogs, and here are the app catalogs that are available. So I can easily add, you know, send that's a file share. In this case, I have a SharePoint app catalog, but I can only show one at a time that is actually in the menu. And this is useful for when you have apps that are you don't want to necessarily make available, like for a person to say insert an app, but maybe you have an Excel template that has an app already embedded into it. You can go ahead and specify those other app catalogs. Basically, they're kind of hidden and silent, so that way it can interact properly with the Office client. Okay, so one more thing that I want to show. We talked about it a little bit yesterday with the apps for SharePoint. Sonia mentioned it a little bit with today about this thing called Napa. And so what is this wonderful thing that we have called Napa, which is a development tool set. So let me go ahead and navigate to that site. My developer tenancy. And here I can go to my site content. So this is we talked about that developer, how to sign up for the Office 365 developer site. Once I have that, that's what you're seeing right here is my developer site. I click on site contents and I can go into Napa. So Napa is an app for SharePoint. It's a web-based IDE for creating apps for Office and SharePoint. So yesterday I created an app for SharePoint. Well, today let's create an app for Office. So we'll create a simple task pane app, and we'll go ahead and click create. And what we'll do is we'll go ahead and lay out the code, and you can see this is a very similar experience to Visual Studio. So I have my line numbers, I have my syntax that's color-coded for me. It has a very simple hello world for getting data. I have a JavaScript file here that basically goes ahead and just display. Here it's just going to display kind of like a simple hello world type of message. And if I'm ready to just go ahead and try this out, I can just say go ahead and run the project. So go ahead and upload the project. It's going to upload it because I'm using a SharePoint developer tenancy. It's going to upload it to that developer site. It's going to go ahead and install it. And it's going to ask me to launch the app. And I'm going to have to run it again because this is the first time I actually ran this. Always allow. So let's try that one more time.
And what's nice is that it will automatically uninstall previous versions when you're running through it, so it'll auto-update for you.
Absolutely. The only thing in Visual Studio, it's a little bit different. Only if you make changes to the manifest file will actually try to update that app within. If you're just updating your business logic or your data access or like something with the web project itself, it won't actually try to go through this uninstall or reinstall thing. So there is my content app, that my simple hello world that is appearing, and I'm in Excel right now, and I can just say get data from selection, and we'll just go ahead and put in hello world right here.
And what you'll notice too is we're not in the Excel Office client that's on the desktop. We're actually in the Office 365 instance of the Excel web app.
Yep, and this will work just as well within the client itself. So. So get data from selected, and there's my message that pops up as the selected text is hello world. Now, let's see if this will actually work if I open it up in Excel. I've never tried this, So I'm going to try this as a small experiment. I mean, literally, I've never actually tried this. So hopefully, this will open up the app within Excel too, just to show that it works both in the client and on the desktop itself. Click Enable Editing, and there is my app. So that's my selected field. I'm now in Excel, and I have the exact same app experience as I do in the cloud in Office 365 as I do within my client itself. And what's really powerful about this, and what really kind of excites me, is like I write the app once, it works in basically four different Office clients in the cloud and four actual desktop clients. But I wrote it once. I can't think of any platform that is out there today that allows me to work with four different platforms like that and still allow me to write the application one time. So that's, I mean, me as, because before I took this role as a product manager with Microsoft, I was in Microsoft Consulting Services. So I sat basically where you guys sat. I actually implemented this stuff. Sometimes I wanted to strangle the Office and SharePoint engineers. There is no doubt that I did want to do that. But this I find totally, totally exciting because I've dealt with VSTO. I've felt the pain of trying to make an add-in for Outlook and have to deal with all the certificates and then trying to spend between 1 and 4 in the morning and trying to deploy those apps with all those certificates, those add-ins with those certificates. It's a painful experience. And it's just time-consuming. Here, I can do it just with extreme ease. And I can use skill sets that I already have within my organization. I don't have to be a special VSTO developer or a special SharePoint developer. I can just be a web developer and just use Office and SharePoint as a service and be able to surface those apps, those creations I make right within the clients themselves. So that it does make me want to jump up and down and clap like a little girl, not going to lie. But go ahead.
The other great feature, too, of just NAPA and this whole development process is if you notice, that's all on the web. So if you have dispersed teams that are geographically separated and you're trying to very rapidly and agile manner develop code or get something out into POC or prototype, impress some of those executives that are waiting for you to get that thing to them pronto, you can very easily give access to that NAPA development environment to all your developers, and they could easily do a team development project in NAPA, right? And then they can download it right there, test it in their web apps, test it right on the Office client. Just a very agile way to now do team development and development for Office and SharePoint in general.
Yep, and one of the things that you'll notice that you will not see on this page anywhere is a save button. Everything saves as you type. So as you're typing away, everything persists into into the cloud itself. So with that, I'm going to hand it back to Sonia, who's going to help us wrap things up.
Absolutely. Thank you. So what we want to cover, last but not least, is the resources that we have available for you to start doing some of this great development work with apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. The first one we covered briefly, dev.office.com. What you have there is, as we said, we have tons of ways for you to get started, some documentation, and there's also sample code out there. So you can actually look at pre-existing samples that are out there for all of these various apps. The next one is the blogs.msdn.com/officeapps, and that's just our blog site where we have engineers, MVPs, ourselves actually, putting out new and exciting bits and pieces for you on Office and SharePoint development. The social.msdn.microsoft.com forums, we have forums available for SharePoint, Office, apps, and also Exchange.
Yep.
So there's plenty of folks up there, and if you want to drop us a line, suggestions for APIs, suggestions for content, tutorials, we're monitoring that very closely, so feel free to drop us a line and say hi. Your blog here.
Yeah, it looks like we forgot to put in our actual
We forgot
blogs.
To put in our blogs, but we both do have blogs, so feel free to reach out.
So it's really easy just to type in my name. I think it comes like the third list when you Bing it, so.
And then finally, some of the other Office, SharePoint, and Great Yammer sessions that we have here at Build. Wednesday was yesterday, so you can't really go to those, although you could watch the recordings.
Yep.
And also download the slides. We did the 0 to 60 developing apps for SharePoint yesterday. There's also understanding authentication and permissions with apps for SharePoint and Office. by Kirk Evans, one of our great PFEs, and also developing apps for SharePoint 2013 with Visual Studio 2013. Our session is here today, 0 to 60 developing apps for Microsoft Office. And then tomorrow we have two great sessions, advanced patterns using Windows Azure websites for apps for Office and SharePoint, and that will delve more into how you can leverage Azure as your development platform for building these great apps. And then building enterprise web and mobile apps on the Yammer platform. So if you're interested in the great new social aspects, that would be the place to go.
So with that, we would like to go ahead and kind of open it up for Q&A. Please fill out your evaluations. If you feel like you need to go, by all means, do so. But if you are, we'd like to thank you for attending today. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your great build. It's again, you can find me on my blog and contact me through there or through my Twitter account. It's really easy to find me if you have any follow-ups after this session. Otherwise, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great time. Thanks. If you have any questions, please jump up to the microphone so we can get that recorded.
In your samples, I saw picking up data based on selections. Do you also have access to named ranges, say in Excel? And is that access two ways?
So the question was, is there access to named ranges within Excel? So that's basically where the table comes in. So it isn't a named range, but if you define it as a table, it'll go ahead and select that data.
Correct, but you are doing it based on the selection. If I write my code looking for a table by a particular name, will I be able to find it and pull data from it, or do I have to have the user pick it, as you did in your samples?
You would have to have the user pick it for right now. We're, actually,
Diamonds,
think about it.
Baby.
No, actually, I take that back. You can't actually do named ranges. Yeah, so you can specify a named range and be able to go ahead and specify that name range and pull that data as well as push that data into that name range.
That's excellent to hear, and I appreciate where you're going from the plumbing perspective. We're coming from VSTO, currently in Excel DNA, and so this matter of being able to go two ways is significant, and something I expect you will be working on yet is how do you do functions that you can call from Excel?
We're thinking about that sort of thing. So we're not there yet, but it's definitely something that we're definitely thinking about because we see this as being this, you know, supporting this web-based, you know, standard platform as being the way to go for our future across all of our productivity products.
If you're curious, just really quickly, I want to show you. If you go to the Office Store, there's actually a great app out here. It's called the API Tutorial for Office. Currently, it just covers the Excel APIs that are available. We're actually in the process of building out more apps that'll have tutorials on Word, PowerPoint, and all the other ones that are very API specific to a particular Office client. But this is a great way to get started, and that actually has the code sample in it of what you're asking for. Absolutely.
Say, yes. Yesterday you showed a help desk application. Is that available as a reference app somewhere?
It will be. I'm just cleaning up some lines of code because there's some things I'm not exactly proud of quite yet. But once I go ahead and clean up those few lines, I'll be pushing that out. Hopefully, in the next few weeks on MSDN. So just, I'll put a blog post on it, so just pay attention to my blog.
Fantastic, thank you.
Hey, just wondering with the, this new model now, are there any plans to extend that to other clients, like Link?
To Link, excellent question. I don't know. We want to make this across all our productive experience, which include like Link, Yammer, Office, but I don't know of a deadline, but the whole productivity suite is all about, we're all about the cloud, for lack of better words. So I would expect something, but I'm not directly privy to what the Link team is actually explicitly doing or when they'll have that. But my guess is that something will eventually appear. I don't have a yay or nay to it. So, but my guess is the direction that we're going, that something will occur. But if you want after this, you can give me your card and I'll go ahead and...
Okay, cool.
As a quick indication, we are actually consolidating the MSDN sort of navigation manner in which you get around to have basically one landing page for all things dev as far as Office, SharePoint, and all those things. So I would keep an eye out there at dev.office.com.
Okay. Yep.
And I can't guarantee, but you might see a Link something or other there soon.
Sooner or later.
Sooner or later, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Yes.
In 365, the content controls, are they on the web or that's not?
The content controls in Office 365.
Developer
content
tab.
App?
No, if you go under the developer tab on the desktop version of the Office, you see content controls, which came out in late in 2007 version.
Okay.
I think you're talking Word.
Word, yes.
Yeah, just
Word.
Yeah,
Word. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, for Word.
Okay.
Are the content controls supported on 365 or not?
Well, if you have like the Office
365,
yes. So as long within the desktop, yes, for sure.
No, not within the desktop.
On the web?
In Office 365.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Thanks. The other thing is, is Visio being planned for 365?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know. Off the top of my head.
Sure. With the Office apps, can you embed your own ribbon into it?
Not yet.
That's coming. That's actually one of the major API requests that we have.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest API requests that we get right now. We're just trying to figure out the best way to handle it.
Okay. And the last thing is, certainly when you're building these apps for 2013, it's great from a 2013 perspective, but a lot of people tend to have 2010
yep.
and older versions.
Yep.
What's the sort of the compatibility strategy?
Well, within the app itself, there's not a whole lot. But, however, I have been talking with some internal folks, and we're thinking about making some VSTL code samples that basically mimic the Office API. So it's not going to be perfect to the app itself, but allow you to start migrating your VSTL apps into this cloud app model with 2010, and then you'll be able to basically take that, for the most part, 99% of it, copy-paste that as an app for SharePoint, or excuse me, an app for Office, when you go ahead and upgrade to 2013, and those will just go ahead and
run. The forward compatibility. I'm talking about backward.
So will these apps work in 2010?
Yeah.
No.
No. All right. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
In your examples, the apps were always rendered to the right of the workspace.
Yep.
Are there guidelines as to what we can expect in terms of the rendering space?
The guidelines aren't they're on dev.office.com for specifying. I mean, for
are you asking for style, like, guidelines or
size mainly?
Size guidelines.
Size, yes, those are there.
There's a UI style guide there that is a good overview, and we're actually in the process of creating more documentation to give you more detailed examples and also code samples of more style.
But what I showed you in the manifest file, you can specify. I just didn't show the elements, but there's size elements that you can specify there.
Okay. Cool, thanks.
Yep. Any other questions? No? Come up to the microphone. Don't be shy. We won't bite. Well, maybe, but it's not Tuesday, so you're lucky.
All right. So you guys are changing the binary format for PST for Office 2013. Do you know when those file specs are going to be released?
I do not know that.
Okay.
I focus strictly on developer app model, not on the file formats.
Okay. And then I work for an e-discovery company.
Yep.
Do you know if any, so like we are heavy into the comm interop. Do you know if for like these new versions of Office, if those comm interops will still function correctly, or should we look
well,
at
well, with any upgrade, you always want to check, but yes, your VSTO, your comm stuff will all still work in the 2013 platform.
Okay.
I don't think there are any API changes or behavior changes, so they should work, but always do due diligence to make sure that you get the expected behavior that you're
expecting. And then as far as forwards compatibility, like moving forward, we should start programming to these APIs because they're not going to change and it's easier to interface with.
Well, from an app standpoint, so I'm going to create a VSTL sample that is going to basically allow you to effectively create like an app using the same type of APIs and JavaScript capabilities as we have right now with the App for Office platform.
Okay.
So that way you can actually start kind of effectively writing this before 2013. So that way you can lift the code. But your VSTL code itself, you'll still end up having to translate that over. It's because you're talking basically, client WinForms.net effectively, and then web. They don't mesh.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
This is a question I got from my CEO, so I desperately need an answer.
Okay.
We're an iExtensibility add-in, so from before VSTO.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, when do you foresee the initial beta coming out of the Office 365 API that gives you the vast majority of the functionality that presently exists in the iExtensibility or VSTO API? I mean, I know that's a hard question because you're not going to do absolutely everything, but...
We don't have a set date for that. We are working towards that. And what you'll see is you'll see quarter releases of more APIs being added. I definitely pay attention to what we're going to be doing in the next 6 months to see, but I can't tell you if it's going to be the full breadth or if it's going to be 80 or 60%. I don't know that, but I do know that, you know, every 6 months, we'll be adding new APIs, but potentially as close as every 3 months to the Office 365 platform. And then after, at certain intervals, we'll make that available with the desktop clients as well.
Do you think I would not be shot January 1st if I told her that by the end of the year, we would probably see in beta virtually everything we want?
Can't comment on that. I mean, I know.
You're killing me.
My suggestion, you gave me your card already, correct?
I already gave you my card.
Yeah, earlier. So we'll follow up with you, and then we have certain programs like getting early access, preview access that will we look at certain partners, and we'll follow up with you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes?
I've got a legacy set of server apps that generate Office documents using OpenXML.
Yep.
How would something like this interact with that code that, you know, formats and structures and inserts content for... you know, good-looking Office documents, but, you know, updates the code to talk to the services to use this technique?
Well, I'll tell you a demo that I did a while back is I used OpenXML SDK, and I actually was able to embed an app using that SDK, so I was able to push that data into it. Mm-hmm. And then within the app itself, I was able to... You can't really do like formatting and changing colors within the app itself. I mean, that should be part of the template already. But I can at least push data into there, so I can push, you know, whatever data, whether it's a cell, range, or within a table itself. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I mean, you're probably not going to create, like, say, open blank workbook. Here's my app. Now create a beautiful looking Excel spreadsheet with all this data in it. That's right. Probably not going to happen. What you could do is you can say, here's an Excel template that's already beautiful looking, and I'm now going to push my content into that Excel workbook. Does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay.
At least today, right? And then as we keep adding APIs,
that could potentially expand,
right?
I mean, is the OpenXML world completely separate? Track dead, or is there some? Is that
it's not dead. It's still there. It's because there's nothing to really touch anymore. We're not like adding new elements within the
tooling, and the tooling hasn't really changed much in a while. So, is there anything on that side of things that will be updated? I mean, I see this
When we see needs to update the function, when they update functionality of Word or Excel, and we need to create those particular type of classes in that, then we will provide that. But there hasn't been a whole lot, like within the content itself of the document, there isn't like a new structure of something so much that is there that we really need to provide that within the SDK. So
it's just like the tooling is completely separate. It's not integrated with Visual Studio. It seems kind of orphaned.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, there's lots of different things that we have that are like that too, and doesn't mean we're going to be sunsetting it. So, okay. I mean, the SDK is going to be there for a very long time, and in reality, what an Office document is a, you know, basically a zipped up bunch of XML files inside of it. That's all it really is. So, whether you're using the SDK, which you can, you know, when you can basically serialize or deserialize it like into a class file with the tools, that's something that is just handy. But typically, I just use like an XML reader and just kind of read through, or an XML writer and just write into the document. Right. That's the way I handle it.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. I think the next presenters want to set up. So with that, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Please clap your bells.